All right, Puck and Slick here at Sports Radio 950 KJR. Mike Garofolo, 60 seconds away. First, real quick, want to get you a sports headlines brought to you by VenueKings.com. Get tickets to any upcoming event, including Seahawks, Mariners, Kraken, all that going on at VenueKings.com. Mariners last night lose 7-2 to the Twins. They did take the series 2-3. Two games out of three from the Twins. You got the Rays coming in tonight. Seahawks mandatory minicamp wrapping up today. NBA playoffs last night. They had the Clippers. They took a 3-2 lead. And you had the Hawks in an epic comeback. Take a 3-2 lead there over the 76ers as well. Before we get to Mike, real quickly, we have to do it. $100. Somebody's going to win it right now, courtesy of the Emerald Queen Casino. It's EQ C-Note Thursday. Gene Krawchuk from Tacoma. You have 5 minutes to call 206-286-9595 or 1-800-829-0950. Gene Krawchuk in Tacoma. That is this hour's winner. If he calls back within 5 minutes, he gets $100 courtesy of the Emerald Queen Casino. If you want to enter for the 12 o'clock drawing, super easy. Just text 49451. That's the Coors Seltzer text line. 49451. Text your name and the city you live in, and you'll be entered into the 12 o'clock drawing for $100. All right. Going now to the Beacon Plumbing Hotline, and joining us as he does every Thursday at this time, 11 o'clock, Mike Garofolo, all brought to you by Salmon's Service Center, salmonsservice.com. Mike, no pocket today, just get me. I appreciate you being willing to come on anyway, in spite of that fact. As we effort to get Mike on. Oh, I think you hear him now. Mike, you there?
Hold on.
You with me?
Hold on.
I got you.
Operator error. I muted the phone. I was but you know what? That was probably God, whether you believe in God or not. It's probably God telling me, don't make that joke about Puck.
Oh, God.
Okay? Because I was making the joke about Puck, but I was muted, which is probably a sign that I shouldn't make the joke. Because he's my guy.
I think God will want you to make that joke, actually, but that's okay. You know, he's going to be out next week, too.
Listen.
Yeah.
Look around. God has a sense of humor. Just look around anywhere.
It's absolutely true. Appreciate you coming on today. A lot going on around the NFL. By the way, as Will Smith coming in, you know that Jason has his 80s Throwback Thursday. We are doing a 90s Throwback Thursday because, screw Puckett. And I like the 90s better. So in case you were curious Will Smith, he wasn't around in the 80s. That's why.
Well, Will was around in the 80s, but if you wanted to go 80s, different. It would be parents. Right. It would be parents just don't understand.
Exactly. Exactly.
I think Summertime was 90, 91 maybe. So that was probably 90s.
Yes.
And what was the other Fresh Prince?
For Fresh
parents
Prince.
Just don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had another hit. DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince had another hit in the 80s, and somebody right now is screaming in their car, and they're like, how does this guy not know it? He's from Philly. I can't
remember. Nightmare on My Street? Nightmare on My Street,
yes,
is that it?
That's there, it. That was go. The other one. Oh. That was the other one I'm thinking of. Yep.
There you go. Perfect. And that's how it comes out to you on the show today. All right, Mike, ton going on in the NFL right now. You got mini camps and all that stuff going on. Seahawks contract disputes. We'll get to all that in a second, but kind of the bigger story looming large over the NFL right now seems to be around COVID-19 vaccinations. And it just seems like the league thought that they were going to have an easier time, I think, than they've had as far as, getting players to be vaccinated and dangling the carrot of you're just going to have a much easier year. You're not going to have to go through everything that you went through last year with distancing and protocols and testing and masking and all that. But it seems like maybe that carrot hasn't been enough to get the numbers that the NFL is looking for.
Well, you're not in season right now. So I think that, the numbers are going to come up once you get into the season. I mean, the one thing yesterday that really struck me was, free agents. If you're a free agent and you're going to work out for a team, you're going to have to do the 5-day onboarding process that they did last year for free agents, where you're testing for 5 days before you can work out for a team. But if you're vaccinated, you can walk right in the building and start working out and having, just the difference between well, which guy am I signing? I mean, come on, it's a no-brainer. You need guys in a hurry in this league when you have injuries and other reasons to sign guys quickly. So I think a large number of guys who are in that position will wind up getting vaccinated. I think guys that realize, hey, if I'm a close contact, a high-risk close contact to somebody, and I'm going to have to sit for 5 days, kind of like last year that we saw when you had the close contacts, if I am vaccinated, I don't have to worry about that, just as long as I don't get COVID and I don't test positive. And if I do test positive, the waiting period for a vaccinated player versus a non-vaccinated player is much different. You know, the numbers will come up. Now, you will still have guys that are going to say, I don't care. I'm not buying it. I don't trust it. I don't listen to the government when they say, hey, you should get this thing. You know, there are just guys that are going to be adamantly opposed to it. But I believe that the numbers will come up as we get closer and into the season. And a lot of guys are going to realize that there's pressure from their teammates. You know, they don't want to have to be without a key guy for a couple of days because he didn't get vaccinated. So we'll see. I mean, listen, and there'll be people that say that's not the way it should be, and you know, too much pressure being put on these guys. But it's kind of the way.
Well, it's become so political and politicized, which is wild. You know, just for something it's a medical thing, and I've never seen anything like that. Just to this point, I know we're in June, so, you know, and you say you expect it to tick up, obviously. Are you surprised that there hasn't been as much buy-in, just given, you know, those things that you say, what it means, especially for, you know, free agent players and just everything surrounding how much easier life is on an NFL player that is vaccinated?
Not surprised, because I know the NFL player fan base. I know what their belief systems tend to be. I know a lot of guys that are, you know, they believe in the, I hate to call them conspiracy theories, but they don't trust, you know, they don't trust things that are kind of fed to them in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And that's from their experience and the experience of their family and their friends and stuff that they've experienced over the years. So I'm not surprised. A lot of guys are looking at that saying, I'm not taking that vaccine. Now, by the same token, I've had conversations with people, and I said, all right, you're anti-vaxxer. Well, why? Well, I don't know where this stuff, what's in there, what, you know, where it came from, what they're putting in it. All that. I said, okay, what'd you have for breakfast? He said, well, I had eggs. Where'd the eggs come from? I don't know. Well, okay. It's not like you know everything that's going into your body here. Right? Right. It's not like you're sitting there going, all right, I am 100% confident that I know where everything came from, you know, and I'll eat this and I'll take this, but don't put that vaccine, don't bring that vaccine near me. So, I'd like to have those conversations with guys just to kind of have a debate so that everybody kind of understands what they're saying, what they're believing, what they're putting out there, and what they're basically, the decisions that they're coming to them themselves. So,
yeah.
You know, and I get it. Look, they can sit there and say, well, what are the long-term effects here? Well, we don't know. We obviously don't know. Well, then why did they rush this thing out there? Well, because I don't know. Everybody around the globe was working on this thing versus, you know, years ago, these vaccines, the entire globe wasn't devoted to doing this stuff. I mean, this thing shut down the world here. So that's why, you know, in a lot of ways I say to these guys, you know, you shouldn't be surprised that this thing happened so quickly because everything was devoted to getting this thing done and getting it quickly. But, you know, a lot of guys, again, are still going to be adamantly opposed to it, and that's their belief. It's a personal choice. It's what they keep saying. And I believe that a lot of guys are going to have personal choices that are still going to be that they're not vaccinated, and they're going to go through the testing and all these other protocols because they just don't want to get the vaccine.
We're on with Mike Garofalo from the NFL Network. Mike, Le'Veon Bell. What happened to Le'Veon Bell? I mean, he lost his legs. Well, he went from being one of the premier star running backs in the NFL to I'm going to sit out a season, which didn't benefit him at all financially. And now he's like the one guy in the world that can't play for Andy Reid.
No, not really. I mean, what's funny to me is not nobody, but few have made this connection. I mean, that's 2 years in a row. They had brought LeSean McCoy in, and LeSean McCoy did not have a great experience with the Chiefs. Remember, he was inactive for the Super Bowl. So The second year in a row that they went out and got themselves a veteran running back that everybody said, oh, man, this guy's going to blow up in their system. Well, you know what? The shelf life for running backs is not that long. And when Le'Veon Bell left the Jets, the thought was, well, it was Adam Gase that ruined him. It was a bad offensive line. It was all these things. And I spoke to somebody with the Jets who said, watch. He's not going to do much in Kansas City. His best days are behind him. And that could have been because he took the year off and kind of got out of the flow of things. It could be that he was playing behind a much better offensive line in Pittsburgh than we've seen him play behind since then, which allowed him to do that stop and start style that he loved to do that was so unique to him. It's a lot easier to do that when guys are holding blocks in front of you for a couple of seconds.
Here in Seattle, look, Pete Carroll was giving a press conference the other day. Russell Wilson, you know, he sneaks in and says, hey, you know, me and Peter friends. John Schneider poked his head. I mean, it's going to be like the biggest meme in Seattle sports this year, the three of them at the podium for that brief second. I mean, are we just to believe now that everything's hunky-dory, everything just goes back to normal, and if they, you know, if they continue winning and they have a 13-4 year this year, that everything's going to be fine?
No. next question. No, I, this is something that we've talked about this, right? That he could come back. It's the same thing that I've kind of said with Aaron Rodgers, which is like, oh, how is Russell Wilson going to come back now that he's taken it to the point of criticizing the team and basically pointing fingers? Well, he's going to come back and he's going to play because he can play through the awkwardness like he played through the awkwardness last year. He was unhappy last year. Aaron Rodgers was unhappy last year. He was a freaking MVP of the league, right? Yeah. Guys can play through. A lot of times guys thrive on that stuff, to be honest with you. Not that they're intentionally making it out that way, but this is the kind of stuff that makes them better, to be like, hey, I'm the reason that we play well around here. I'm the reason that we do things. And frankly, if he wants to get traded this offseason, the best thing for him to do is to play well, right? Can't come in and tank it. That's not going to help you. That's not going to help anybody. So, you know, he could play well, and we could be right back where we were in February like we were this past year. And at some point, I mean, I think it's, what, 3 years left on the contract? At some point, we're going to get to the – and it's probably going to be with 1 year remaining.
Yeah.
Because that's what happened the last two times. So that's when he wanted an extension and he set a deadline. Don't be surprised if that whole deadline thing comes back if we get to that point. Say, hey, I want a deal done by this point, otherwise I'm not doing one.
Mm-hmm.
That was their tactic last time. That could lead to a situation where we go, all right, well, either they're going to move them or be willing to play this thing out and do the franchise tag. So that's the long answer. Let's go back to the short answer. No.
Jamal Adams and his money, that's going to make anything they want to do with Russell Wilson down the future monetarily more difficult. What's the latest with him? He's a no-show at this mini camp, and is that going to extend into training camp and beyond just until he gets a new deal?
I'd be surprised, just because these guys are going to wind up punting on money, and it won't be like in the past where you can forgive the fines and reduce the fines, kind of like the Seahawks did with Cam Chancellor, I think with Marshawn, they reduced them.
Right.
You know, it's mandatory now in the collective bargaining agreement. But what you'll have is, you know, hold-ins, guys that'll come and show up at camp, but, you know, I'm not doing a whole lot. Melvin Ingram last year with the Chargers flat out said, I don't want to do anything until I get my deal. And they were fine with it. So you may actually see that. You may have teams say, hey, the guy's a veteran. We trust him. We'll let him not practice till we figure this thing out, as long as he's here participating in meetings and not, quote unquote, holding out. Mm-hmm. I think you could potentially see something to that end with Jamal Adams. But listen, every time I kind of talk to some people about it, there's always this confidence that they're expressing that, hey, you know, everybody knows kind of what the numbers are. We're going to get there. It's not a big deal. Almost like waiting for a deadline to really make this thing happen.
Yeah.
So I'll continue to say I think it's going to be fine with Jamal Adams. You know, I saw the other day the first report, which was not accurate, which is, or at least didn't have the full context, that said that he wasn't going to be there, even though we found out later that he was excused for a personal reason.
Mm-hmm.
And Jets fans were in the comments laughing, pictures of Joe Douglas laughing. Ha-ha, we got you. Yeah, so glad we traded this guy. Listen, relax. It's everybody on Twitter. It's a quick reaction. Give it time. I still think he does a deal with the Seahawks, and he remains with the team. And I think he gets done before the start of the season. So hang in there.
And then we find out this week that Dwayne Brown is also looking for a new contract. Now, he has shown up. I don't think we expect a holdout there, but do you expect anything to get done on that front, or is he just going to play out his final year here in Seattle?
That might be tougher because he's 36,
yeah.
Or 35, right? 35?
He will be 36, yeah, coming up.
Yeah. So for him, I don't know in his mind. I did put a call into his agent the other day who kind of texted me back and said, sorry I was traveling, didn't have a chance to really connect with him to understand, what's he looking for here. I'm sure he wouldn't have told me anyway, but regardless. I would think that you'd say, well, look, you're not going to make me the highest paid tackle in the league, but, get me close to there because I'm 36. I understand where I am in my career. Now, that being said, and I understand Pro Football Focus isn't the be-all and end-all, and I know players scoff at these rankings and ratings all the time. But if you look at it, he had his highest rating last year, according to them, since 2012. And really the eye test. I mean, for those of you who watched Seahawks football last year, it's tough with offensive linemen because you don't have actual stats to look at. But the eye test, I mean, you could see he was playing well out there. So I believe that had him thinking, I got a couple good years left. I can play till, close to 40, if not beyond. I mean, Jason Peters is a free agent right now. He wants to play past 40. Some of these guys at that position think, which is crazy to me, by the way. Crazy to me that at that position you can have that kind of durability like Andrew Whitworth has had, like Peters has had, like Dwayne Brown has had, like Trent Williams seems like he's going to have. Mm-hmm. I would think that position would really be one where you'd wear down. But credit to these guys for what they've been able to do at the left tackle position.
Last thing, Mike, before we let you go here, Mike Garofalo with us from the NFL Network. Alden Smith, and I realized earlier this week when I was talking with Puck, he's just kind of the forgotten man just because I think the day or 2 days after the Seahawks signed him, he has his whole legal issue that he had down there. So what is the latest with Alden Smith?
Yeah. Was he there at minicamp this week, by the way?
No.
It's funny you say that. Yeah, he wasn't. What do I want to say here? Give me a second.
Okay.
If Alden Smith, I don't know. You're gonna see a lot from Alden Smith this fall for the Seahawks. I'll say that.
Okay.
There's a lot going on there.
Wow.
So, we'll see. I mean, listen, Alden has got for his entire career has had stuff going on. It's been really positive over the last year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's why he got back in the league because it was positive. This little situation that popped up now, not as positive.
Right.
I hope the guy kind of, you want Alden Smith, the person, to be right. And then Alden Smith, the football player, to figure it out afterwards. So
sure.
We'll see, man. I'm hoping for him because I've had limited experience with him, but he seems like, he's not perfect. None of us are, but he seems like he genuinely deep down is a good dude. Alden, if you're out there listening, come on, man, do what's right by you as a person. Okay.
All right. All right. So not much. Okay. Mike, we appreciate it. Mike Garofalo, NFL Network. And we'll do this again next week.
I'm just listening.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on there. That's all. I mean,
okay.
I would say he's got some work to do before you see him on the field.
Right.
Period. Let alone be on the field for the Seahawks this fall.
So don't expect much. That's what you said, right?
I would say, yeah. Do not expect a whole lot from Alden Smith.
Don't run out and get my Alden Smith jersey today, is what you're saying.
That would be wise, yes.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. Talk to you next week. There he is, Mike Garofalo, right there from the NFL Network. It's brought to you by Salmon Service Center, salmonservice.com. Real quickly, your Circling Raven leaderboard update out there at the U.S. Open in Torrey Pines, and there is a log jam at 2 under, including Siwoo Kim, Brooks Koepka, Russell Henley, Cameron Young, Patrick Rogers, and Sahith Theegala. Yes, it is. And Curtis, he had his headsets ready, had his microphone ready because he knew I would need help with Sahith Theegala.
Yes.
Got
I figured you might.
Yes, thank you very much.
And not only that, he was a local sectional qualifier to get into this.
Oh, that's fun. And that's what I love about an open.
Yeah.
You qualify, you're in, you get to play with the best in the world.
And, you know, and what a shock that Brooks Koepka is again at the top of a leaderboard of a U.S. Open. It's absolute clockwork.
Sure.
He just, every single time they show up for a U.S. Open, he could be like Tiger in 2008 and be playing on one leg, and he will somehow be at the top of a leaderboard when it's time to play a USGA event.
Now, he is 8 holes in, so I'm not going to jump to anything yet, but... To your point, yeah, he is off to a really nice...
His finishes in his last 3 U.S. Opens he played, he didn't play last year because of a knee injury.
Mm-hmm.
First, second.
Yeah, look at that. He's pretty good.
Yeah.
Sahith Theegala. Mike.
You got it.
Zunino. Coming back to town. We're going to talk about this upcoming series with the Rays next and what the Mariners could get out of it. Here, coming up next on Puck and Slick, Sports Radio 950 KJ.
App.
All right. Now we're talking. I consider this to be the greatest R&B album of all time, by the way. Certainly representative of our 90s throwback Thursday. Excellent choice by Curtis Crabtree. And by the way, Dave and Danny Caraway of Winnemar Real Estate is the real estate team you can count on for honesty, integrity, and fast results. Serving Puget Sound buyers and sellers for 21 years, they simply get the job done and protect you throughout the process. The Dave Caraway team at Windermere Real Estate, who has sponsored the studio from 10 to 1 for this next week. A generous donation of $600 to the Ronald McDonald House to lock that in. So $11,600 now is what the donation total is up to. Next Tuesday at 12:30 is your opportunity to once again bid to have the studio named after you from 10 to 1. So we've decided to sell off the naming rights for a good cause, and Ronald McDonald House is that cause. So thank you, Caraways and Windermere Real Estate, for putting your name on our show and on our studio here at KJR for the next week here on Puck and Slick. All right, I already mentioned it's a 90s throwback Thursday. Speaking of throwbacks, I got to get one this weekend as Mike Zunino comes to town with his Rays, who are leading the American League East, and it'll be good to see Mike Zunino. I think everybody always roots for him, and boy, I'd love to have him back right now. But
watching Jose Godoy godonk a couple balls last night,
well, that with Godoy, and then the adventure that's been Luis Torrens, yeah. and we know Cal Raleigh at some point will be up here, but in the meantime, you know, just to kind of catch the young staff, work with Logan Gilbert, and just to see some nice defense. I'd like to see Mike Zunino back. I don't think we're going to get that opportunity. He's having a decent year down with Tampa Bay, and they're going to be coming here this weekend.
It's just like Brendan Ryan, where you don't appreciate that until it's not there anymore.
I appreciated Brendan Ryan. I loved his defense. I didn't care that he hit 210. And damn it, the man talked to Buffaloes, and I like that in my shortstop. So all defense and Buffalo talking, I don't care what you do with your bat. That was Brendan Ryan. The Rays, they lead the AL East. Of course, in the grand scheme, this series doesn't mean a whole lot. But just the roller coaster ride that's kind of been this season for the Mariners, which I think that at the beginning of the season, anybody could really anticipate that's what the season's going to turn into, because you got a lot of young players trying to figure out what this organization is. You're trying to get some development done. There have been some real low points. I could point to 2 no-hitters. So some embarrassing offense, some embarrassing lineups that have been put out there. But there have also been some bright points, too. And, you know, at the end of the day, this club is 2 games under 500. After this weekend, they could, you know, easily find themselves at 500, because they've shown the ability to win against good teams. They've also shown the ability to lose against bad teams. So you just kind of don't know what you're going to get with these Mariners. But it does seem like the success or failure really comes on the bats of those kind of ancillary guys. I'm talking the guys that are like 5 through 9, because you know, you like what you're getting out of JP Crawford. You like what you're getting right now out of Jake Fraley, who's worked himself into a more prominent position in the lineup. You know, Mitch Haniger is batting third, or at least he was last night, recovering from his bone bruise. You know, he's not pressed into being a top one or two guy in the lineup, especially since JP Crawford, you know, he's taking that leadoff role that Jared Kelnick left vacant when he went back down to Tacoma. And he's embraced it. He's looked really good. He's been more consistent this year than any other year we've seen out of JP Crawford. So Ty France, I think he's showing, you know, that he's a professional hitter. You'd like to see it a little bit more. You'd like to see some more multi-hit games or maybe some more power out of Ty France, some more consistency there. But he does get hits. And when he's not getting plunked, which, by the way, I don't know what the record is for most beam balls in a season, but I mean, he's got to be zeroing in on it, because it seems like once a game he's getting tagged out there in the batter's box. But he's hitting well. Kyle Seager, he's a little streaky, but he's certainly had the power numbers this year. But it's if you can get contributions from the back end of that lineup, that is really what this team is kind of living and dying on. You know, the rotation, I think, has been pretty good. I think we can classify it as that. Last night, notwithstanding, and Justice Sheffield, he's kind of had an up and down year. You know, Justin Dunn takes the hill tonight against Tampa Bay. Justin Dunn is one of the more he's one of the biggest question marks for me as to, can he be a part of this club's future? Now, I think his future is probably in the bullpen, but he has the stuff to make it as a starter. He really does. He could be a back-end starter on a successful franchise, but he obviously has to be more consistent. He has to throw more strikes. He has to get deeper into ball games. That's been his problem. Because if you look at his numbers, just ERA-wise, those numbers look good, but he doesn't have the wins to support it, and that's because he hasn't been getting deep into ball games. He gets himself into a lot of trouble. He can get himself out of it, but he racks up that pitch count. The stuff that he has and he puts on display at times, I would love it if Justin Dunn could be, you know, part of the solution when it comes to your future starting rotation. I would love that, because if he could hone that stuff in and make that, you know, last and go 6 1/3, 7 innings kind of consistently, you know, with that stuff and get guys out, not, you know, not walk guys, not put guys on base, with his ability to get out of jams when he does get into them, he could absolutely be somebody who's really productive for this club going forward. I haven't seen it yet, and I haven't seen any signs that it's getting there. So I think his future is a bullpen piece, which is okay. I mean, you know, look at what Kendall Graven's done. He used to be a starter, and now he's one of the best bullpen players in the American League. So and probably almost certainly going to be dealt at the trading deadline. Somebody, a contender, is going to bring him in to work the later innings, and maybe even be a closer, certainly a setup man at least. So, you know, that I think you have a future there for Justin Dunn. But just looking at what is on this club and who is contributing right now, look, you've got, if you have a night where you're getting a hit or two from Dylan Moore, whoever's playing catcher can give you a hit. One of those guys can maybe, you know, give you a bomb. And then the most intriguing part right now is Jake Bowers and seeing what he can do with a little bit of guidance and a little bit of a new play. I mean, he's looked all right. I've liked what we see at Jake Bowers. Won you a ball game already, so that's been nice to see. But this Mariners squad, it's I stay tuned, not because I'm expecting a win, obviously, but I stay tuned because it's interesting. It's like a new club every night, and some nights you're going to score 10 runs like you did the other night, and some nights you're going to get no hit, and you don't know what you're going to get from this Mariners team. So night in and night out, it's a different adventure, but it is an adventure, and it's intriguing enough to keep me watching, and hopefully it is for you as well.
Do you really quickly want a little Mariners news?
Sure, I'd love some Mariners news.
T-Mobile Park will return to full capacity on July 2nd.
Wow! So 2 weeks?
Yes.
2 weeks?
Beginning June 24, tickets for all remaining games go on sale to all fans. In addition, beginning July 2nd, the following changes in game day experience are coming. No social distancing or vaccine-only sections. No required proof of vaccine or negative COVID tests required at gates. Masks are not required for fully vaccinated individuals, but should be worn by unvaccinated fans. All kids' areas will be reopened. All areas of the ballpark, i.e. the Penn, Trident Deck, are reopened to fans.
Boom. All fans. It's all open. July 2nd. So there you go. It's you know what? We were wondering just a couple months ago what sports were going to look like here in later parts of 2021. We were hoping we'd get to this point where we could have full stadiums. We've seen it in other places. We're going to see it here too. I've got to imagine, you know, as long as things can continue to trend this way, Husky Stadium, Lumen Field for Seahawk games, certainly Lumen Field for soccer games as well. We're going to see it all full capacity. So looking like it's trending that way, and it's starting here with T-Mobile Park and the Mariners on July 2nd. So that's exciting news for the ambiance, for people to go to the game, for people to watch the game, and also for the players too. It's a big deal for them. When we come back, tweet of the day. We're going to take a quick break. Tweet of the day. And, you know, Puckett, he's a newspaper guy. So I think he would get a particular amount of appreciation of this particular tweet. I'll show you what I mean coming up next here. Sports Radio 950 K. Podcasts. You have 10 minutes. 10 minutes to text your name and the city you live in to 49451. That is the Coors Seltzer text line, 49451, for your chance at $100. We're going to give away $100 10 minutes from now. Is your name going to be amongst the names that is eligible to win? That's up to you. The EQC is ready to hand you $100. All you have to do is text your name and the city you live in to be entered in next hour's drawing, which is going to take place in, once again, 10 minutes. That is as quick of a turnaround and payoff as I can imagine. So, 49451, your name, the city that you live in. This is Tweet of the Day. Puckett and I scour the internet, scour social media, and scour your submissions for what we like to think are the most funny and entertaining moments that are out there on social media. If you have something you'd like to submit for Tweet of the Day, you can always send it to Jason Puckett at JasonPuckett20, to myself at SlickHawk12, even to Curtis Crabtree at Curtis_Crabtree out there on Twitter. Look, you listen to the show, you know Puckett. You know his affinity for newspaper, and yes, newspaper in print. He likes to get the smudge of the ink on the fingers, is what he always says. But his favorite part of the paper is always the rant section, right? Well, if you have been... Look, any part of this pandemic, any part of this last few years, any of it, and just how contentious it's all been out there and everything, even the fact that the newspapers have gone mostly online, you have read the comment section. I know you have. I've done it. Whether it's for entertainment or whether it's because something pissed us off or whatever, the comment section of the local newspaper provides some of the most either entertainment or vitriol or all of the above. And there is a comedian, Brent Terhune. I think we've played some of his audio before. He's really funny. He does a lot of satire, a lot of tongue-in-cheek stuff. But he went on Twitter and he made a video basically enacting all the stuff that you see in your local newspaper's comment section.
Who's paying for this? Not my tax dollars. Did you even read the article? Because it says it's from an anonymous donor. Well, he better not be using my tax dollars.
Barbara, this is Walter. I just wanted to let you know that Robert passed last night.
Oh, this is what passes for news nowadays? I'm glad I canceled my prescription a long time ago. I see you're hiding your stories behind a paywall now. Well, you're a joke. Big Town Dispatch, Chronicle, and Observer. Who cares? You do. I can't find your comment on this thread anymore, Dale Ward, but come to my side of town and I'll kick your ass. This all started when insert current president took office. Enjoy your $8 gas, socialists. Something so grammatically incoherent but outrageously condescending at the same time. Idiots. Take my comment down again and we're gonna have problems, Small Town Journal, Sun Gazette, and Observer. Well, it looks like they just lost my business.
Somebody's triggered.
Dale Ward, you son of a bitch.
Oh, that's at Brent Terhune. out there on Twitter. Like I said, he puts out a lot of funny stuff, a lot of satire, especially surrounding whatever is happening out there out on social media. So he's usually got a good commentary, good take on it. 7 minutes now. 7 minutes until we give away $100. It's EQC Note Thursday. And again, 49451 is the number to text in. Just your name and where you live. One text per hour, please, per customer. And you'll have your chance. We'll plot a name, give away $100 coming up next here, along with a full hour. That includes Bucky Jacobson and Ian Furness all coming up on the 12 o'clock hour here at Puck and Slick. Sports Radio 950 KJR.